Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of SLMA Radio. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. Today, as always, we're privileged to have with us the founder, executive director, and the guiding light behind this organization, the one and only Jim Obermeyer. Hey, Jim.
Thank you, Paul, for the nice introduction. That is Paul Roberts. He is our producer for all things Funnel Radio. Paul will possibly jump in here and ask some questions during our program. He's got a strong background in sales, marketing, and radio production, both terrestrial as well as his internet radio station. The subject matter today of our program is how to tell a story with data. Now, I've known Cindy Greenglass for many years, and we were talking just a week or so ago about this very subject, and she was telling me how so many people who make a presentation fail in the presentation to communicate easily with people or communicate in such a way that the people walk away with the most salient points for all kinds of reasons. They use too many PowerPoint slides. So many things occur. You know, there's nothing like making a presentation to a board of directors, salespeople, or even customers that contains important data, and it ends up by striking fear in the heart of the marketer because they wonder if they're going to be successful. How to do it so the listener understands the most salient points is what Cindy Greenglass is going to share with us today. And with Diamond Communication Solutions, they're a very interesting company. You've got about 500 employees. She's a founder there. This is an important company, and they serve a lot of people in the financial industry, the medical device industry, medical products, insurance industries, and those people rely on data. And she really is going to share with us today the power of telling a story around data. Do I have that right, Cindy?
Yes, you do.
So, first of all, let's talk about the power of storytelling. What got you on this track to look at storytelling to begin with, and then how did you take it over to the actual database and how you extract the most important information out and tell a story about something pretty dry and mundane? What do you think?
Well, you know, Jim, thank you for the lovely introduction. I think that data isn't dry at all. I kind of am reminded of The Matrix when, do you remember when you saw the Keanu Reeves and he's first in The Matrix, you see those guys sitting behind those screens and all they see is this mash of numbers going by and then there's one fellow who sees the gal in the red dress and sees the whole scene and that is a person who actually could see the story in data. And data is actually, we are so overwhelmed with so much of it. Data is not information. Data in its rawest form is what overwhelms us. But data, when you can find the trends, when you can find something meaningful, is extremely interesting. And so what happens is our brains just get to a point where we will filter out what we can't absorb quickly. And so if it's just numbers and it's not relevant or put into context, we have been programmed to focus those types of communications out and look for the complexity, look how to simplify something and put it into context. So data can be very interesting if it is applied contextually.
Well, marketers today, with the advent of so many social media programs, not just social media, excuse me, with the advent of artificial intelligence, machine learning, marketing intelligence, all of this data, reams of it, is piling up. Artificial intelligence programs are trying to make sense of it. But the reality is once you make sense of it, someone has to present it in a meaningful manner. So how do we take these marketing people who are used to sitting behind the desk and not out in front of talking to you? How do we turn them into great presenters of data?
Yes, that's a very good question. So the first thing I always tell my marketers and my students is you have to stop being afraid of math and you have to stop being afraid of numbers and data. And as marketers, we often are great communicators, but we did not come up or get raised through accounting or finance or in the statistical area. So we come to the math and the numbers with a little bit of fear. And that's our first problem. So if you have this fear and aversion to it, then, you know, you don't approach it with the same respect. So you have to embrace it. And you have to make the analyst, the financial business person, your best friend. You have to help me understand, what do you think this data says to you? Now, they don't understand it in the context of a marketer, but you want to see and get the benefit of what they see in the data so that you, in turn, can apply it to the decision-making. So you have two things. You have the analyst who's saying, this is what I see from their very pure analytical standpoint, not in any kind of context. And then you have to step back and you have to say, okay, why do I care? Mm. Every time you look at data and you want to present something to a business person, to your boss, to a decision maker, you have to say, why will I care about that statistic, that finding, that piece of data? And if you can't answer that really quickly, and your answer isn't because I can make a better decision, a new decision, or it reinforces a decision I've already made, then that data is not important.
So you said
that's where I would start.
You said a better decision, a new decision. What was the third one?
A better decision, a new decision, or it reinforces a decision you have already made. It confirms an assumption. So think about, what are we trying as marketers to do? We test all the time. We're trying to have a return on our investment to prove that what we have created and marketed and put into the marketplace works or it doesn't work. We made money, we didn't make money. We got the results we projected or we didn't. So every piece of data you look at, all of the information you look at needs to be able to come back to, did it work? Did it not work? Does it confirm what I already thought was going to happen? And if not, does it give me a new set of ideas and things to think about that I should do differently? And if it doesn't help me answer any of those questions, then I don't care, really, because at the end of the day, that's what we marketers are trying to do, correct?
Yeah, you're right. So do you weave a story around the data itself? Do we have a story that pertains to marketing or sales or prospects or
so the first thing you need to do is understand your audience, right? So who are you speaking to? And for the most part, we as marketers are speaking to non-data and analytic people. So get inside the head of the individuals or the audience you're speaking to. If you're speaking to a C-level person, you probably have less than 10 minutes to make your case. They are not only very busy, they pick up things extremely quickly. They want to know the facts, they want it presented in a cogent manner, and they don't want to dig into the details. What happens often is we just regurgitate a bunch of data, and we don't get to the conclusion. And the conclusion's at the end, you've lost your audience. So we have to do the heavy lifting, which is going through the reporting, figuring out what it means, and then we have to step back and say, why will they care? And then you have to tell them in the story right up front. You have to say, this is what is important to you. Let me restate what we know is important to you, Mr. or Ms. CEO, CFO, CMO. You're wanting the answer to this question. Right away, you got their attention. So let me tell you how I'm going to answer that question. You give them a little summary of how you're going to go about answering it. And then you have to show it to them in a graphic manner more than you want to use the numbers themselves. If they want to dig into and QC it, you're going to have all the analysts. You're going to have all the data at your disposal for anybody who might be interested in digging into how you got there. But people can absorb graphics and images far easier than they can absorb actual numbers. You know how they say a picture is worth a thousand words? Well, it's actually the case. We actually have proven that we see and understand a basic human understanding pictorially and through graphics far better than we do through numbers. So, and it's called the picture superiority effect. So find a way to use pictures and graphics to highlight basic numbers, basic things you want to show. For example, trends can be shown really easy with trend lines. How something is made up in a pie chart with a small number of pieces can be immediately understood versus trying to list a bunch of numbers on a page. So think about how you can use visual imagery to tell the story that you're trying to get across.
That's, you know, you remind me of a situation I had. I was working for a company that, had software for trade show lead acquisition systems. And I went out with a sales rep and we were calling on Canon. And the whole room was filled with people until the big boss came in. So the big boss comes in, head of sales and marketing, comes in for this particular division. He sits down and the sales rep opens up her computer and starts off with a presentation to talk about the failure rate of most companies to get enough leads at trade shows and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the assumption is that the software would help them double and triple the number of inquiries they get. He said, you're not going to take me through a PowerPoint presentation and bore me to tears because you've got about 3 minutes to make a presentation to you.
Right.
And I looked it over her and she slammed the computer down and says, this is what it says. You can triple the number of sales inquiries you get at trade shows, having the exact same staff, having the exact same products. And I guarantee you that you will triple the number of qualified leads. And let me show you what that does for you sales-wise. And she pulled up. She said, I'm going to go straight through to this one particular graph. Showed the graph, slammed the computer shut again, said, what do you think? And he said, we'll do it. He walked out.
Right.
She had 50 slides, and she didn't make the mistake of saying, well, let me just show you a couple of these and then hunt around. It was a big sale. It's worth $150,000, $200,000 a year in all their trade shows. So is this the kind of thing that you're talking about?
Yeah. So, you know, some of the biggest mistakes that we all make is that because it's so hard to get to the why, and because we spend so much time deep in the weeds in the reporting, we don't step back and say, okay, distill this down in the simplest possible manner. You know how Mark Twain said, I'm sorry, I don't have the time to write a shorter letter. It is very, very hard to get to a succinct answer, so we tend to wrap it around a lot of inconsequential stuff as we're wading through the reporting and trying to get to the answer. And oftentimes we don't actually have an answer. So if you can't explain it in 30 seconds, then you haven't done a good job. If you overwhelm what we call the death by PowerPoint, right? Too many slides with too much information because you actually don't know where you're going. You have to start at the end and work your way back to the beginning. Think of a really good movie. A good movie has an introduction. It grabs you from the beginning, the opening scenes. Then it gives you a reason to believe and care, whether that's about the characters or it weaves in an interesting story. There's usually some tension or something in there, which is I'm trying to resolve a problem. I've got some sort of tension, and then it has a conclusion to it. We hope the conclusion, you know, is not always successful, but it, so you need to do the exact same thing in your presentation. You got to open with a bang, and we, you know, it's just like when you do a proposal and you put the pricing and you do the conclusion at the end. Think about putting it at the beginning. I'm going to tell you why, like you just said, I can increase sales, or we did. This campaign increased our close rate by 15% over the campaign we just did, and I'm going to show you how we did that. I got your attention, didn't I?
Yeah,
I'm going to tell
you
a story, right? I got your attention. And then I'm going to show you a couple of very compelling, easy, quick graphics that show this is what we did, these are the results we got, and this is what I want to do next. Period. You're done.
Very interesting. We're going to have to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we'll come back with Cindy Greenglass again. She's responsible for strategic solutions for clients in financial insurance and healthcare services over at Diamond Communications Solutions. And she's been tackling this issue, how to tell a story with data, and I'm taking 2 pages of notes here, Cindy. But I'm sure you're going to help us a little bit more at the end. I want to see how you teach this to students in some of the classes that you have. We'll be back in just a moment with Cindy Greenglass.
Whether you're producing a seminar series, users conference, lunch and learn, or exhibiting at a trade show, Validar has a solution. From capturing leads at trade shows to managing on-site registration, tracking session attendance, gathering information, and providing sponsors lead retrieval, we have a full suite of solutions for you. Since 2005, Validar has been turning corporate events and trade shows into better business. Call 888-784-2929 or visit us at validar.com.
And after you do that, we want to remind you that today's sales and marketing is a paradox. Well, you know that. You have more marketing channels, content, and tools to reach people. But actually connecting with potential customers seems harder than ever before. To be successful, you must build your approach and then walk through it with your customer's point of view. Mark Kempa helps you do this. Mark Kempa is a consulting and training company that helps improve how organizations acquire and grow customer relationships with applied empathy. That's right, applied empathy. They help you understand your company's motivation and your customer's experience with empathy-based marketing. And they teach you how to sell, meeting the challenges of today's revenue growth and what your customers are looking for. It's all there and more. It's something you should really understand. Applied Empathy from Mark Kempa, markempa.com. All right, one last reminder that Diamond Communication Solutions, they're a full-service partner in the design, production, and deployment of data-driven, highly personalized customer and member communications, everything we're talking about today. They deliver targeted, relevant, and dynamic messaging using print and digital media. They have 1,200 healthcare and 500 financial clients, including Fortune 1000 companies, major insurance companies, financial institutions, and member organizations. And you could be part of that group. Diamond Communications Solutions is trusted when secure communications counts. To learn more, simply visit the website, dmsolutions.com. All right, back to Jim in the second half of his interview.
It's always nice to hear from our sponsors and hear about their products and how they're helping marketers every day. We've been speaking with Cindy Greenglass. She's a head of strategic solutions and a founder over at Diamond Communication Solutions. And she's been tackling this, how to tell a story with data. And I've been taking notes here, and she's changed the way I'm thinking about presenting a lot of data here. I remember, Cindy, I've got a mentor, one of two mentors. We were at lunch a week or so ago. We were talking about podcasts and what have you. And he said, Jim, let me tell you something that Professor Anderson taught me many years ago when I was in college. And I said, what's that, Sean? And he said, always be entertaining. You have to be entertaining because no matter what it is, people turn you off. And that's what was partially going through my mind, because that's what you're saying here, isn't it? You have to be entertaining. You have to tell stories about the data. Explain a little bit more about starting at the end and then working back again.
Yeah, so let's think about when you go into a presentation or you go into a meeting, you start with, what do I want to get out of this? When I walk out of the door, what am I ultimately looking to get out of this? Am I educating? Am I informing? Am I building consensus? Am I actually asking for money? Do I want to get approval and a budget to move forward with the campaign? So you need to know your destination. That's the first thing. So I want to start at the end. What is the outcome that I want from this conversation or this presentation? Now I'm going to go back to the beginning and I'm going to say, okay, if my job and my outcome of what I want is for the boss to give me $500,000 for this campaign, I need to be able to start at the beginning and say, we need to do what we need to. We're building sales. We have this. Here's the problem we're trying to solve. Our competitors are eating our lunch in the marketplace. Boom. Show a nice visual. That. Maybe a quick infographic of what's going on that quickly says, here's our positioning. Here's your competitor positioning. Move on. We have the opportunity to seize market share if we move quickly with a strong campaign that addresses this new product that we're going to have. Boom. What are our new product sales? Where can we build? And then maybe you put out some things like a persona. You want to talk about your targeting, your segmentation. This is how we're going to go after this market. Instead of talking about age and income, presence of children, or firmographics and demographics, show a persona. Let's meet Joe. Joe is our ultimate target audience. We know Joe. We can show a picture of Joe. People are going to relate to that far more than the stats of what Joe's demographics and psychographics are, right? So we're building that picture. And then say, every time you have a piece of information that you are imparting, think about how you are creating a lasting impression of that piece of information with something visual, that it, because visual will be memorable. The persona imparts so much information about a segment, a target market, that could take you 15, 20 minutes of just numbers and data, but you show a picture of somebody and they get it. That's why they're so powerful. Then take them through the what do we want to do for that campaign. Here's how I'm going to execute it. Here's the ROI on it. I'm going to put a few numbers up there. That's where you want to actually put some numbers. I don't want a spreadsheet of budgets with all sorts of Excel spreadsheets. You say, I'm going to deliver, or we are projecting. You put a big, bold ROI, return on my investment, return on my marketing investment, my projected break even. You got to know what your financial metric is. Put that one number up there, and that's all you put on. You just told a big story with one number.
So on a campaign like that, you might say, we're going to spend $200,000. We're going to get 1,200 inquiries. 600 are going to be qualified. 150 are going to have proposals. 10% of those are going to convert, or 15 with an average sale of $500,000. We're going to get $7.5 million for this $100,000 spent.
I put the $7.5 million on there, and that's all I put on.
Okay.
So you know when you're saying, yeah, tell the story, I would put that number because that's the number. You say, that's a lot of money. And then I'd say, and I'm asking for $200,000 to bring $7 million. Do we need $7 million? Is that a number that you would like?
You're right. That's,
yes.
Okay. That's what we're going to walk away with.
All the rest of it is arithmetic.
Yeah, and I've got to get you into some more meetings, Cindy.
Now, it's important arithmetic, Jim. I don't want to minimize it because in my classes, I spend a lot of time with my professional executive students teaching them how to do that math. You got to understand how to go through that. You got to know what your sales qualification rate is and what your conversion rate is, your cost per sale, your revenue per sale, all of that. That is absolutely essential, but that's not for this conversation.
Nobody cares how you got there. They just want the bottom line.
Correct. Then if you got there and you said, okay, prove it to me that you can actually, where did you come up with that number? You've already sold it. It's sold. You told the story. Now you want the backstory. Okay, you're not talking to the C-level people at this point. They don't want to look at your arithmetic, your long division, like we used to do in school. They're going to let you go do that with somebody else.
Yeah.
But you already got the deal. They already got the yes.
This has been an eye-opener today. Tell us, before we have to leave, because we're right at the end of our program here, tell us a little bit more about Diamond Communication Solutions. I said they had 500 companies. I said that they had some financial services, insurance, and healthcare. But can you give us a minute on the company?
Sure. Sure. What we do at Diamond Communication Solutions is use data to communicate in highly regulated industries like financial services and healthcare. Very complex, sometimes what may seem like arcane types of messages. So you have IRS reporting, you have financial reporting, and in healthcare, we are actually communicating the financial obligation that you and I pay as patients when we go see providers in hospitals. So we are actually trying to take complex financial data, present it to an audience in a way that is understandable, and we all know how tough it is sometimes to understand our patient bills and statements. So we are bringing together the art and science of marketing and communications with data and data processing.
Super. Well, 500 employees, you must be doing something right. You were a founder over there. Cindy, how can someone reach you if they want to talk about this in a little more depth?
I am an enthusiastic data geek. I love to talk about this. They should feel free to call me at Diamond. They can reach out to me on Twitter at DirectChick, which is my handle. Look me up on LinkedIn or send me an email at cgreenglass@dmsolutions.com. And I appreciate so much, Jim, the opportunity to share some thoughts with you today. I hope that our audience will have a couple of nuggets that they can take away.
And by the way, for people who might be listening, Cindy's going to be coming back with us as a guest host. I won't be the host. She will be on SLMA Radio in September. And we won't tell you the company or the person, but it's probably the largest CRM company in the country and one of the most important people on those on that staff of C-level people. And you're going to be talking about leadership, correct?
How do you navigate chaos when you are growing exponentially at light speed?
Well, we're looking forward to that. We just have to nail down the date. The executive will be ready, and Cindy will be the hostess for the program that week. Cindy, you've been very generous with your time. Thank you so much for taking the time to tell us how to tell a story with data.
You've been listening to SLMA Radio. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. It has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing. It probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. Part of the many shows on the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.